You are now listening to the On Cue Performance Therapy Podcast, where the worlds of sports medicine and performance collide. My name is Mike Quintons. I'm a physical therapist with an entrepreneurial mindset that specializes in treating orthopedic and sports injuries. I'm bringing on the brightest and sharpest in the field of sports medicine to share their best practices and explore the gap where medicine meets performance. What's up, Performance Therapy Nation? This is Mike Quintons, your host of the On Cue Performance Therapy Podcast. You're about to tune into episode 2 with athletic trainer and strength conditioning coach, Mario Massioli.
All right, Mario, so can you share with the listeners what types of services you're providing now to your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a mixed bag. So I'd say there's three main categories. There's the strength and conditioning, sports performance, and then there's an element of rehabilitation. So that could look like an acute injury, but I'd say I'm doing more so of non-acute things, where times where people have had an injury for a while, or they had an injury, it wasn't fully recovered. Now they have pain, they have trouble doing things, and I utilize strength training and rehab elements to help relieve their pain and to just get them strong. And then there's a TLC, the recovery, like from fatigue, just seeing athletes and people who work really hard in their sport or their lifestyle using those soft tissue techniques. And then the last thing is the health coaching. I'm really excited about this part and working with more people in that way, but holistically, whether it's weight loss, nutrition, or if it's someone just trying to optimize their health, getting into behavior change, habits, routines, and then also focusing on things like sleep and stress management.
So I have a good friend of mine. We haven't talked about this yet. He may have said something to you, but we went to high school together, good buddy of mine. And he's like, yo, how do you know Mario? And I'm like, whoa, how do you know that I know Mario? And you've been his coach for the last couple of years. So you probably know who I'm talking about. And he's the man. He's great people. And he raves about you. And he's, let's put it this way, he's not shy. If he feels a certain way about something, he'll let you know. And he hold back. And he was raving about his. And now listen, he used to be a high school athlete. I think he might have made it through like one camp in college for football, but that was about it. So like fitness is something that he would love to work on. Three kids, he's, you know, so he's a perfect example of like the diversity that you work with.
Correct.
So that, love that. I think that's awesome. What kind of things are you considering in, you know, helping someone, coaching someone?
Yeah. I mean, the main thing I consider is where they're coming from. Like, what have they been struggling with? What have they tried? That gives me a lot of insight, especially just from a mindset point of view. I think helping people get to another level, whether it's fitness or whether it's recovering from an injury, whatever their goal is, getting a really good sense of like how they're viewing their current situation, their perspective on even just life, the world, like that's really important. Because then I can tell you what to do, but then having the follow through is completely different. So it depends on the person, right? You could have someone come in and like they're an athlete and they're disciplined and they're rearing to go. You just need to tell them what to do and guide them and give them the programs. And then there's other people where they want a desired goal. They're not just ready to go when you tell them what to do. You need to do more of that behavioral change coaching.
I mean, you sound like a psychologist. I mean, if I asked a psychologist, I would expect a very similar response, which is great. I mean, that's tells you that like how knowledgeable you have to be able to work with diverse clientele like you are. So in terms of like nutrition, diet, et cetera, like how much are you involved in each of those? Is that on an as needed basis, or do you feel the need to dive into each of those with every client?
It depends on what the client is looking for. I think if someone's looking to really change their health or to optimize, they're like, hey, like they might be an athlete, like I just want to get in the best shape, period. Well, then we're going to take those other things into consideration. Like I'm going to coach them on that. And I'm going to be like, this is what we have to do. If it's someone who's like weight loss, fitness, then that's kind of just an inherent part of the program. So there's going to be a nutrition coaching portion. There's going to be just different coaching on how to develop routines or even like an essence of mindset coaching. And then also the things on sleep and on stress management, because they all play a role into their goal of losing weight or recovering from an injury.
Yeah, some are subjective, some are objective, right? What data are you collecting, right? Obviously, how they're sleeping, how are you tracking that data? Because we're talking athletes and non-athletes. So, you know, obviously technologies would be helpful. So I'm curious how you track those things, assuming they're interested in getting a better lifestyle, right? So
I know you guys use this for some of your programs, but you know, I have an app that I use where they can plug in kind of all their data, whether it's nutrition, their meals, taking pictures, water, as well as, you know, when they work out, putting in the numbers so that I can look at all that. Sometimes on the app, you know, can get mapped out on a graph over the course of time. So that's really helpful for me. And it can be helpful for the clients because it creates a level of accountability too. And then they can kind of see what they're doing as well. So that's like some of the objective measures. And then the subjective is just having conversations. Sometimes they're built in, like it's part of the program. It's like, hey, it's been a week on this day. Like we have a brief check-in, or sometimes it's like it's a month and now we have a one-on-one conversation. But usually it can be talking to them even every day to just see how they're feeling and then taking that subjective information.
How often are you working with other professionals in doing this, like coaches, parents, the significant others, right? I mean, there's multiple influences, I would imagine, that individual's lives. So how are you overseeing or managing that communication?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, it's definitely different each situation. I haven't had a lot of communication if it's someone with like a spouse, but with athletes, definitely coaches and parents. And there's times where if the parents want to be really involved, then I'm talking to them pretty regularly, giving them updates on what's going on and asking them to assist in certain ways, saying, hey, this is what we're working on this week, or this is the goal, and kind of educating them as well. And then sometimes they're not as involved, and that's okay with me, depending on the athlete and how self-driven I feel like they are.
Arrow, I want to know, what, let's say you get a new client, and this could be more for, let's dive into some of the fitness and training stuff. Like, what's your first day look like with that client? What's your assessment? What do you do with that person?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, the first session will just be an assessment. And I like to really take my time with that because it's also time to just converse and develop that rapport if I don't already, you know, have a relationship with that person. So I take my time, but we go through like a whole mobility assessment, measuring, you know, just different planes of motion in the hip, ankle, shoulder, and upper body. Some of it is passive, and then definitely do an active portion where I can observe kind of their functional movement. And then I'll do some pretty simple strength testing, like on single leg, like I'll do like a single leg bridge. I'll do a single leg squat to a box. I'll just observe what I'm seeing in a single leg stance and compensations. And then there'll be a portion that's more like dynamic testing. So especially for an athlete, like jump or counter movement jump, a bound for distance, things that have to do with power. And for that, I think I want to transition to something different, but for some of that, I've been using a push band.
Push is good.
Yeah.
There's lots of them out there.
So that's a lot of the initial time. Also, I might take them through major movements that I would have them do in their programs. So I can give them a little bit of coaching in that time and then see how they handle it, and or do they already do that well? That's really important. So I'll try to get that in there too.
It's great. I love that. I think a lot of times trainers and coaches will also like try to make people really tired on their first session. And that's not always the best thing to do or the right thing to do, because that doesn't really give you any information about this person. Most people that come to you that want to get healthy or get fit or get strong or an athlete, like usually most of them aren't actually in shape. So making them tired like doesn't really accomplish anything.
Yeah, that's actually like one of the things I tell people who are interested in working with me that might not even be an official athlete is teaching them how to transform their health without being overwhelmed in the process. I think that's part of it, is not just diving in and they're, you know, they have a really hard workout and they're like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? It's like, no, it's educating them, because I don't want to be their trainer forever. If I'm a good trainer, they're going to move on and they're going to learn a lot and be able to do things on their own.
Yep. Also, awesome.
Beautiful. How often would you, if at all, would you reassess those, some of those metrics? And then do you use those, if you do that reassessment, how do you use that data to modify the program going forward?
I like to do, well, it depends on the test, but with some of it, especially the range of motion stuff, you know, I'll at least do that like once a month, because that might be when I'm changing program for them anyway. So yeah. And if I see certain things like just aren't changing, then I reconsider using other strategies. Absolutely. I think that's like, you know, what's good about testing consistently.
I think I have a good thought here, question for you. So with your time as an athletic trainer, how do you feel like that has helped you now as like a strength and conditioning coach trainer? Like, what were some of the lessons that you bring from that field to now strength?
Yeah, I'm so thankful that I have that background. I think it completely changes how I view like strength and sports performance. One of my philosophies, and it's not like it's unique, but I view them at times one and the same. There's so many times you can just get someone off a table and put them in a gym environment, and they might not be doing nothing. You're not lifting crazy weight or anything, but it's like they're doing movements that are strength and conditioning movements or things I would prescribe there. It's very similar. So I think how it's really helped me though is again, being able to have different ways to work around injuries. That's something, because of the sports med background, having a knowledge of that, having maybe a larger repertoire of exercises where I know like, oh, this is going to kind of get that muscle in the same way, but without compromising or causing pain, you know. And I think it helps me to look at and assess the person more holistically, just having that background.
And then vice versa, what lessons do you feel like you wish you had from your strength and conditioning knowledge now while you were an athletic trainer? Like, what would you go back and do differently from your current knowledge base as a strength and conditioning coach that you wish you could have had as an athletic trainer?
That's a really good question. I think my philosophy, like, I think I use a lot more weight room type exercises for clients in rehab now. And if I had gone through that kind of strength and conditioning education first, that would have changed how I did some of my rehabs. I think I would have been able to push people actually a little bit more, mm-hmm. and they could have recovered faster, obviously safely,
right.
But that comes to mind.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's what I found with a lot of PTs or athletic trainers that were personal trainers or strength coaches first, is that I believe that they are a little more quote unquote aggressive with their physical therapy. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we see it in this clinic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. No, I think it's actually a good thing.
No, definitely not. I agree.
Yeah. I think in athletic trainers and PTs alike, have our tools can be our hands. That's easy to use. So if I have time with somebody, I'd love to use my hands. They're easy to use, easy to access, right? But it doesn't promote independence. So,
right.
So like, get moving, you know? So, yeah. That's been like my transformation as a PT has been, what skills can I develop with my hands? This is cool. Like, I have a doctorate in physical therapy. What things can I do with my hands? And I've pivoted significantly towards like, we got to load, like you got to move, got to get going, because that's not going to fix you.
Yeah. I would say that's similar for me. The last thing I just thought of too is I learned a lot in terms of actually coaching movement through strength and conditioning. So there were certain things where I learned that, you know, through the athletic training, but there was a lot wider range of exercise where I learned how to coach it better. That would have been helpful, I think, going into athletic training.
All right. That's a wrap on part two with strength conditioning coach and athletic trainer Mario Mascioli. Stay tuned for part three on deck.
Thanks for listening to the On Cue Performance Therapy Podcast. If you'd like this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It would mean so much to me if you could leave us a 5-star review so more listeners like you could get this important information. See you next time.